Well, I have decided to tell a little story, which Louis needs to hear, about Zach the Wonder Dog and Sammy the Blue-Headed Pionis Parrot. Now, back in the Goose Eggs, we had three cats, and that was fine. They occasionally caught a mouse. Their favorite thing to do was look out the window at birds, and with, you know, that prey look on their faces and the tail swishing as if they thought they could catch them. Then we got a puppy who had been abandoned in People's Park, and we got him through a vendor named Damon, vendor on Telegraph. She was a little black lab mixed with a boy's name. I did not name her. And she quickly became my son's autism service animal. She could find him if he got lost in the house, because that's a thing when a kid's autistic. Or she would drag me over to where he was. Like one time he got stuck in the garage and he couldn't find the light switch, which was right in front of him. And she brought me to him, just like Lassie, and saved him. When he was older, she would bring him home if he went for a walk and got lost, which is another thing. Even when we stayed with friends in Half Moon Bay, she could bring my son back from the beach. So she was a really smart dog, and she got along with the cats because they taught her who was boss and that they didn't like having puppy slobber on their whiskers. But Colin, my son, had always wanted a talking parrot. He had dreamed of this, and you know, I thought it would never happen. But you know, I never say never. Well, my employer got a blue-headed Pionis parrot. Now, Pionises are not supposed to talk, but they don't know that. So Sammy talked. Sammy was a little smaller than a pigeon, blue head, red tail. And he bonded with me because it turned out his previous human was a red-haired woman, and he loved red-haired women. So my employer gave him to our family, and Colin had his talking bird. But this is about the bird and the dog. Bird was very afraid of the dog because she was a big girl. She was 60 pounds, and he was just a little tiny thing, smaller than a pigeon. But he noticed the bird. When he was afraid, I would tell the dog to leave the room, and I would go, go, and point at the door, and the dog would go. One day, Sammy, standing in his cage, pointed his wing at the door and said, go. The dog gave me this incredulous look like she couldn't believe she was being ordered around by this little tiny bird, and then she kind of shrugged her shoulders and left the room. As time went by, Sammy trained Zach. He trained her using parrot language. It wasn't babble. It had a clear meaning, but it wasn't English, so I don't know what he was saying exactly, but Zach knew. And if the cats were stalking the parrot, remember that their favorite thing was stalking birds, they were good most of the time, but they liked to stalk him. He would call Zach, and she would come running over to the cage and romp around and drive the cats away. Then Sammy would grab a treat out of his food cup, climb up on the door. Zach would be under the door with her head up and her mouth out like a wolf. And Sammy would say, good boy, and drop a treat in her mouth. Every day at about 3 o'clock, Sammy and Zach would play together. Now, you wonder how they could play together. Sammy's cage was full of bells. Parrots love bells. So at 3 o'clock, Sammy would ring his bells, and Zach would come over with squeaky toys, and she would squeak her squeaky toys while he played the bells. And they did this every day. They were so sweet together. Zach went from being a normal lab mix who would chase pigeons in the park and, you know, scatter the flock. He went from that to very carefully wading through the flocks of pigeons so as not to disturb them, because she knew that birds had brains. Maybe the pigeons could order her around. She didn't know. And besides, they might have treats for her. So she was very, very careful with birds for the rest of her life. Now, Zach has, and the cats have been gone a long time. Sammy, sadly, my son got migraine from Sammy's voice. This developed slowly. It got to the point where any time Sammy said anything, my son got migraine. So he is now living with a family in Rockridge and a mate. He bonded to the female pionis in the cage next to him at Your Basic Bird, and this family brought them together. So Sammy is happy. He never should have been with red-haired human women, birds. So animals have their own relationships apart from us, and they have friendships, and they can teach each other across species.
We say we're blessing the animals today, but on an ongoing basis, the animals bless us. By the presence of animals in our lives, both as companions and in the larger world, we're led to a realization of what it truly means to be in a UU faith community. The faith I'm talking about is not about existence beliefs or causal beliefs. It's about an attitude of trust instead. It's about growing in trust that life in this world, with all its pains and sorrows, is worth it. And to the goal of remembering this in times of challenge, such as the present, the animals bless us. We receive truth and wisdom and grace from them. On 4 feet or 2 feet or no feet or 8 feet or more, they walk or hop or slither into our lives. They are nothing less than living scriptures to us. They have lessons to teach of living in the present, and which we would do very well to embody. St. Francis got it right when he lived his life as an example of love for our fellow creatures, whom we call animals, and love for the whole of creation. How fitting that the modern world recognized him as the patron saint of ecology in 1979, a thinker and spiritual leader from the 1200s. We want to thank Holly for reminding us that animals have their own relationships with each other, apart from us, and can even teach each other across the boundaries of species.